Another clue is the expression latter times, chapter 38 and verse 8. Yet another clue is the expression last days. Do a word study of the last days in the prophets. And what you'll discover is the last days always refer to an end time conflagration of some sort leading to Israel's restoration. It's an eschatological term. Another clue is found right there in chapter 38 and verse 8. And notice what chapter 38 and verse 8 says. It starts to narrow down the time frame for us. He says in verse 8, "After many days you will be summoned in the latter years. You will come into the land that is restored from the sword, whose inhabitants have been gathered from the nations to the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. But its people were brought out from the nations and living securely among them." It's talking about the Jewish people being regathered from the sword. But yet they're not converted. They've been regathered in unbelief. Well, when are they converted? They're not converted until chapter 39, verse 29, which we read earlier. So therefore, this battle has to take place sometime in between Israel's restoration in unbelief, but before her conversion at the end. When did the restoration in unbelief start? I think you start seeing it May the 14th, 1948, when God began to reach out His hand into the world and regather the Jews from the four corners of the earth as He promised to do. So that regathering process has already started. But the conversion of Israel is yet to come. That's something that happens at the end of the tribulation period. So the time frame, the window narrows now, doesn't it? It's got to occur somewhere between 1948 and when Israel is restored at the end of the tribulation period. As I mentioned before, it's also got to occur during a time of God's wrath. I already read Ezekiel 38, verses 18 and 19. It talks about God's fury, God's anger, God's blazing wrath. That's describing the tribulation period itself. And then to narrow it down just a little bit more, it's got to take place while Israel is living securely and peacefully. And the only time period that really fits is when the Antichrist comes to power, issues a covenant with Israel that Isaiah calls a covenant with death, guaranteeing Israel a false peace at the beginning of the tribulation period. So what I believe is simply this. Ezekiel 38 takes place when the second seal judgment is opened and war breaks out. But you see, I have a little problem, don't I? Chapter 39 is the problem. Chapter 39 is talking about events that take place at the end. Israel's conversion, the vultures gorging on the corpses, those are all events that describe things that will happen at the end of the tribulation period. So here, all of that to say this, what I believe is there's two phases here. The mistake that people make is they think chapters 38 and 39 happen at the same time. That's the mistake that's being made, I believe, by all of these prophecy teachers. They view these chapters as simultaneous. I believe chapter 38 is describing events at the beginning of the tribulation period. Chapter 39 is flashing forward and describing events at the end of the tribulation period, such as Israel's conversion and the vultures gorging on the corpses. It's what I call the two-phased view. What Ezekiel 38 and 39 is describing is not a moment in time, but a process. Now, when you study Ezekiel's writings, what you'll discover is Ezekiel describes processes all of the time. Take, for example, Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 28. God says He will gather from all the lands and bring you back into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will put a new spirit within you. Now you look at this and you say, has this happened already? Well, partially. Israel has been regathered together to her own land in unbelief, but what hasn't happened yet? The Holy Spirit, the clean water, has not yet been poured out on the nation. What Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 28 is describing is not an event, but a what? A process. You move into Ezekiel 37 and you see the same process. It's the valley of the dry bones where the skeleton comes together. And then as the skeleton comes together, a little bit later, breath enters the skeleton or the body. So the bones coming together and forming the skeleton is part of the process, part of the process that we're seeing today. But we're still waiting for the breath, which is the Holy Spirit, as it's identified in this passage, to enter the body. What is Ezekiel 37 talking about? Ezekiel 37 is not talking about a specific event. It's talking about a process. By the way, Ezekiel 37, verse 11, is very clear that these bones are the whole house of Israel. This is not the church of Jesus Christ that's being described. The Bible is very clear that this is talking about a process for the nation of Israel. Well, if chapter 36 is a process, and chapter 37 is a process, then why can't chapters 38 and 39 be a process? Chapter 38 is the beginning of the process. Chapter 39 is the what? The end of the process. And what you'll find in most prophecy teachers is they don't, for whatever reason, acknowledge that this is a process. They want both chapters to happen simultaneously. And what I'm trying to argue is I don't think that's the case at all. Chapter 38, I'm very comfortable placing in the first half of the tribulation period, but not chapter 39. Chapter 39 is talking about the end of the tribulation period. So it's what is called the two-phase view. And that's my answer to the when question. Well, let's move to the why question. Why are these nations coming against the nation of Israel in the end times? Ezekiel gives two motivations. Number one, a spiritual motivation. And number two, a physical motivation. In other words, number one, a motivation from the spiritual world. And number two, a motivation from the physical world. What is the spiritual motivation? Look, if you will, at Ezekiel 38. And notice verse 10. Then says the Lord God, it will come about on that day that thoughts will come into your mind. And you will devise an evil plan. As you go down to verse 16, as this evil plan is hatched, these nations will come against the nation of Israel. Can I ask you a simple question? Who puts evil thoughts into the minds of people? The devil does. You know, one day Peter opened his mouth and said something great. He acknowledged Christ as the Messiah. Then he opened his mouth a second time. I like to call Peter the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. He's always putting his foot in his mouth, as we all have a tendency to do. Amen. He opened his mouth a second time and tried to talk Jesus out of going to the cross and dying. And Jesus said, get behind me who? Satan. Peter said something and he probably thought it was his own idea. But it was really satanically implanted. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1 tells us that Satan moved David to number the troops of Israel.